Welcome to an all-new Calf Crusher Radio. We are live on Facebook, streaming the taping of this episode. My name is Tammy. Joining me in studio is the one and only Michael, no longer hipster punchy, Falcone. That's very quiet. What are you doing?
I said yes.
Yes. There you go. Well, talk louder then. The music's going. And we would not have Alexa Bliss's theme song intro our episode if it wasn't for our very special guest joining us tonight, former host of The Gentleman Show, former host of Social Downfall Radio, and you can find him at the Wilkes-Barre Homeless Shelter. He is our one and only, the king of kings, Mr. John King. King, you there, buddy?
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for that wonderful and sexy intro with Alexa Bliss's song. That got me. Got me right here.
It got you the same way as Chris Cornell's death got everyone else. Heartbroken because
God,
you can't
could you
have
imagine
her.
Imagine that? Dude, if something ever tragically happens to Alexa Bliss, you will never see me again. I will never come out of mourning.
Oh, welcome. And
King's
we
favorite.
Haven't done any form of podcasting with King in a very, very long time.
Very
so
long
this
time.
Is like, oh, wow. This is a stroll down memory lane almost.
Absolutely. I think it was I was going into the job at WBSX in Wilkes-Barre was the last time I think we ever did anything. So that's 2011. So
oh,
2011, guys. It's been a while.
6 years and we're still no buddies. All right. We're off to a great start. Great
Woo!
Reunion.
By the way, King's favorite wrestler, Alexa Bliss. King's least favorite wrestler, Buddy Murphy.
Don't give me a start. He's every because that's the where is he? Where is he? He's still in NXT hell. You know, I'm surprised. I think the only reason they haven't released him is because of Alexa.
Okay, let's be honest. Vince kind of loves trying to break couples up, so that I don't think that's the reason.
I don't know. Seeing how Alexa's going all over the place and touring with Raw, and what he's Buddy's got to be stuck in Orlando, right? So
yeah, he's pretty much there.
I don't know, Alexa on the road all the time with all those fit, muscular men just walking around. Somebody's going to get caught soon. Just saying.
They're like, really, really? You got a ring from the worst member of the worst tag team champions in NXT history? Really?
Oh, that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun to see that all implode. I'm just saying.
It's always fun watching relationships implode and just die out.
I will say, even though we're not really a gossip show, of the like wrestler and wrestler relationships in WWE right now, not including Paige and Del Rio because he's not there, that's the least likely to last the long haul.
I think so, too. And listen, as somebody who has gone through many, you know, relationship catastrophes in his life, I wouldn't mind seeing somebody else, you know, have that for a while, especially if it's like, hey, listen, Alexa's on the market again, and I'm quite charming. I'm just putting it out there. I'm a very charming individual. So, you know, hey, you never know. You never know what can happen.
I think we do know what can happen, knowing you. Look at it. I see you grinning.
I would be very respectful. I would be very gentlemanlike. I would not be my typical inappropriate self.
Okay, what would you do? All right. Let's dive into this.
Do we want to go down this rabbit hole?
Let's go down this rabbit hole. Alexa Bliss is available.
Okay.
What do you do to impress her? There's got to be something. there's got to be something that can impress a woman of that magnitude. It can't be just, hey, I'm a guy. Let's go out. You got to do something special to impress her. What would you do?
I could show her some of my non-copyrighted t-shirt designs that I have over at teespring.com/store/skunkduckdesigns. You can go ahead and pick up today.
And her response would be telling you to shut up.
either that or, you know, asking for her bodyguard or hello police or something like that.
Sure, let me give you my number. 911.
Her response would be a legal document mailed to King's address.
She, seeing how popular she's
her
gotten,
prenup is a restraining order.
How popular she's gotten and how good she looks. I'm surprised she probably does have like restraining orders just on hand on like tearaway paper. Just like, okay, one for you, one for you.
She's like Oprah handing out restraining orders. You get a restraining order. You get a restraining order, King. You especially get a restraining order.
I get five of them.
Wearing a dirtied up Yankees hat and a sleeveless shirt. Ticket.
I'm better looking than those.
This
boys.
Is a wrestling show, not a gawking of women show. All right. So, the big story coming out of this week, Jinder Mahal is our WWE champion. And I am on the side of I really, really like this. I like Jinder Mahal as champion because the fans have been wanting a new champion. We've been wanting new faces, new blood to come in. We wanted new champions, and we got one in Jinder Mahal. Granted, this time last year, he was jobbing in a three-man band.
This time 2 months ago.
I didn't want to go that far, but yes, this time 2 months ago, Jinder Mahal was jobbing out, but now he is a WWE champion. What happened? How do we get to this point? And do you guys like it?
All right. I mean, we all know the reason why they decided to give him the trial run with the title, which is this is essentially what it is. In the next 30 days, we'll be telling if they decide to keep the title on him and if they decide to just give it back to Orton so Orton can then feud with Handsome Rusev. So, obviously, the reason is they are getting themselves into the India market, so they want to have like give him a push to appeal to that. That's also the same reason why Shinsuke Nakamura is part of the company and was signed, because they had gotten in the Japanese market. Now, honestly, what I think of the actual reign is going to depend on how he runs with the ball. I mean, this could wind up being a star-making thing. This could make him a main eventer for years to come that they didn't really think they had, and just by chance had a reason to give him that shot that they normally probably would not have given him. And I think putting him on SmackDown gave him the ability to try it, because that's kind of what they do on SmackDown, is like, all right, it's almost like the trial run for upper mid card to main eventers.
My thought about it is just real quickly here is the first of all, I'm with Hammy on this one. I like it. I like the kind of suddenness of it, this kind of out of nowhere person that all of a sudden gets the belt. The one major pushback I've seen from the people who are on the other side of it, and there seems to be two camps. There's no in between. Yeah, on this. It's either you really like this or you really don't.
This is like one of those cult movies that it's like Alien Covenant. People are either going to really like this idea or they're going to hate it and wish it just goes away and people just stop talking about it.
But the main thing I've seen is like, well, you know what, this is terrible. It you know, devalues the belt, it disrespects the belt, it's just a marketing ploy and all this other stuff, because you know they're trying to push into the India market. And my argument against that, my biggest thing with that, is every champion is a marketing ploy. Every champion is to either sell more tickets, sell more merchandise, and sell more merchandise, and sell more merchandise. Back when Bruno Sammartino was the champion for like a decade, 13 years or whatever it was.
Yeah,
do you know why he was the champion for 13 years?
He was marketable.
Sold out arenas. Yep.
He sold out the Garden marketable. More times than any other wrestler in history.
You know what I'm saying? You know, same thing with Hulk Hogan. You know, he was the champion for as long as he was, you know, whether you like Hogan or not, because he sold out the building. That's what he did. And then you go into this modern era, you know, listen, we had for the WWE Championship belt for about, what, 8 years? It was a goddamn spinner. That was the WWE Championship. Why? Because John Cena had it. It was his design, and it sold. You want to talk about disrespectful? That design alone disrespected the WWE Championship more than anybody else ever holding it, you know?
Okay, I will say my issue with it being sudden with him is there was no buildup. He was literally jobbing, and then 2 weeks later, it gets a main title shot. So, where that's a situation where they should have built him up a lot more, or at least given it a few weeks of buildup before doing that match for the title shot. Because let's face it, it was Backlash. Not exact, not one of their big four pay-per-views. So not like they needed a ton of time to do the program. But ultimately, what's going to decide whether he's a disrespectful champion, as in the way of it's disrespectful to the legacy of the title that he is champion, what happens with him holding the belt is going to dictate that. If he swims, then hey, it was a good gamble on their part that paid off. If he sinks, then yeah. But then again, at the same time, we can't call that bad because at least he's an active full-time wrestler. When we've had part-time wrestlers hold the title, we've had Vince McMahon hold the title.
And not to mention, Brock Lesnar, our Universal Champion, hasn't been seen since WrestleMania 33. We haven't seen him. We've only seen Paul Heyman, I think, twice since WrestleMania.
Wait, there's the Universal title?
Yeah, it looks just like the WWE title, except red.
I still don't mind that, though. I don't mind Brock not showing up, not being that, not in view champion. You know, he's the champion who's just kind of there in the ether. You know, he's mentioned, he's whispered about, but nobody ever really sees him. That doesn't bother me to the extent that it bothers a lot of other people, just because, again, when Brock shows up, the house is selling out. You're watching that pay-per-view, no matter where it is. He only goes to the big four now anyway, so you're probably going to watch it. But even for the casual fan, for the people who aren't us and, watch podcasts and do podcasts and talk about wrestling all the time, just, your regular guy on the street or the kids, Brock Lesnar showing up, now I have to see that. I have to see him wrestle because he never shows up anymore. You know what I mean? So I think that's actually pretty genius. And as a byproduct of that, especially with Monday Night Raw, you get the IC title kind of getting maybe a little bit more elevated, a little bit more respected the way it should be. In my opinion, the Intercontinental title should be the second belt outside of the world titles. And let's face it, WWE, face facts, they have two world titles. They have the Universal and the WWE Championship. Those are their world titles. That second level belt should be and should only be the Intercontinental title. And let's face facts, for the last couple months, ever since I think really The Miz dropped it, the second belt in WWE has been the U.S. title.
Honestly, I couldn't agree more. I mean, that match at Backlash between Kevin Owens and AJ Styles, to me, did what Styles said he wanted to do, which was make the U.S. title great again. Not to get all Trumpy here, but AJ Styles has come out and said that he wants to tear the house down with Kevin Owens. And apart from that finish, which, again, you can either like or dislike that finish extends the rivalry. Yep. We're going to have another match between the two. We're going to have another classic between Owens and Styles. So, to me, they've succeeded in making the U.S. title the number two title in all of WWE. You're exactly right, Kane. That IC title has, to me, lost a bit of value because it's been taken off of The Miz.
Well, that's because I don't know if it's so much The Miz losing the title as it is that Ambrose has killed titles like crazy.
That too.
I want to love Dean Ambrose, but now I kind of know why they took they took his titles off of him.
Dean Ambrose, the perfect way to describe Dean Ambrose is he's great for the chase.
Yes.
He's great in trying to climb the mountain and trying to get to the title and overcoming odds and adversity and being all that kind of stuff. Ambrose with the title is, he's Randy Orton almost. It's like there's no sizzle to it. Well, he's got it. Now what? He's the dog that catches the tire. You know, he doesn't know what to do with it.
He's like a dog chasing a car. Like, he actually caught one. Now he doesn't know what to do with it. Thank you, Joker from Dark Knight. But, logic right there is the same.
Oddly enough, I think heel Ambrose would be a better champion than face Ambrose.
Well, yeah, because he could actually be a lunatic instead of rolling down a hot dog cart from Coney Island.
That was so bad.
Yeah. Or an Asylum match where it's just a steel cage with some weapons on it.
Stuff.
With just stuff.
Which stuff. We thought was the worst match we would see this generation of wrestling, and then the...
Then House of Horrors happened. Yeah. But then that's what happens when you try... Here's the thing. It would be like if we tried to do a big production of Mystery Science Theater 3000. That would be what we are trying to do. Mystery Science Theater 3000 is purposely bad, but amazing. Right? The production value is not that good, but it's that's what makes it amazing to watch.
Right.
Now, you can watch the... I would say even the new Netflix reboot of it, or us trying to do like a high-end production value of it. It just would not feel the same, and it would be arguably pretty bad, but... Let's get back to the main topic here. Jinder Mahal is our WWE champion. Do we like it? Do we not like it? And what do we think is next in store for Jinder Mahal?
I'm undecided on it only because it really depends on how he handles it.
I thought the celebration on SmackDown went very well. He's embracing the role as a heel champion. I love what he's doing. And from what he said, Vince McMahon hugged him backstage at Backlash, and he said to Vince that he's going to bust his ass every week to try to get better. You know what? God bless him, man. If he wants to increase his what's the word I'm looking for? His worth in WWE as the champion, he has a very rare opportunity that many wrestlers don't ever get, and that's hold the WWE title. He has a very rare opportunity.
To jump on the point that you had made, though, I thought the whole Punjabi celebration thing was perfect.
I thought it
was absolutely perfect. And just the fact of it kind of reminded me, and please don't laugh at me because I'm going to mention Alexa Bliss, but it reminded me of when Alexa Bliss first won the SmackDown Championship and she came out for her blissful celebration or whatever. And she just came out and she talked a bunch of trash. And then, you know, they had the big fireworks display. It was there to basically make it look to the audience who maybe wasn't 100% sold or sure about this superstar that they were legitimate.
Right.
And that's what that Punjabi celebration thing kind of did to me. He came out, it was big, it was larger than life, there was a lot put into it, all the fireworks, all the dancers and the drummers and everything like that, and the ring decorations, it just made it look huge. It made Jinder Mahal seem legit. And I think that was the great purpose of it. And to answer your question, yes, I love it. I love Jinder. Again, and to go on to Mike's point, yes, I love it now, but it depends on what he does with it. Can he continue to grow with it? Can he move his character beyond the, I'm a foreigner, I speak different than you, I don't like your customs? You know, can he move beyond that and get a little bit more depth to the character? And also, I don't think the belt's coming off him until SummerSlam for one big important reason, and that's that Money in the Bank is in St. Louis, which is Randy Orton's hometown.
and
as we all know,
you don't win in your hometown
in WWE. It just doesn't happen.
Nope, it does not happen. And Money in the Bank is starting to take place. We had participants announced on SmackDown. We are going to have an early preview, and I am calling for Sami Zayn to finally get his push. I think it's going to be Sami Zayn versus Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam, and I hope that Jinder Mahal is a great heel champion going into SummerSlam. I know SummerSlam's 2 months away, but in WWE and in this ever changing world of pro wrestling, a lot can happen from now until late August when SummerSlam happens. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with Jinder Mahal. I hope he does great as a heel champion. He's already on a great track here. And Americans are inherently kind of racist. If a foreign heel goes there and just insults America, you're going to get heat. It's a cheap tactic.
Yeah, it's
it's cheap.
It's the heel equivalent of right here in insert town here.
It is, but you cannot deny that it works, especially in middle America and the South. Jinder Mahal is going to be naturally hated. Let's move on to the next top story. Mike, we talked about this on a couple of episodes.
Yeah.
YouTube, let's refresh the story here. For those of you who have been paying attention, YouTube has now classified pro wrestling and MMA fighting as too violent to monetize content. Like, it's not advertiser friendly. And
boy, did I decide to jump in on the YouTube bandwagon way too late?
Oh, we did too. Pro wrestling is it's considered non-advertiser friendly, and the way that they decide which videos get demonetized is through an algorithm. They don't even have people going through each video. They have an algorithm, which means if it scans your video and it finds images of wrestling, if it goes in your title and in your description, in your metadata, in your tags, it's going to classify your video as non-advertiser friendly and you won't get money from it. And we said that not only will podcasts be affected, because they have been royally fucked by now. Mike, you pointed out that small independent promotions are going to get fucked as yep. well. And we already have a casualty, at least a casualty that's speaking up. We have a YouTube channel that we are avid fans of, What Culture Wrestling. They got popular enough that they were able to form their own professional wrestling association. They were able to form their own wrestling company.
And one doing well enough that they got some pretty big names.
They got Eric Bischoff to go in and do an angle there. They got, I believe they got Kurt Angle at one point.
Yeah.
They had Rey Mysterio. They had
Alberto Del Rio.
They had Alberto Del Rio and a lot of who's who. They had a who's who. I can't talk tonight. They had a who's who of professional wrestling royalty go through there. And Adam Blompied just released a video giving us a very sad update. So I'll let him, in his own words, explain what's happened.
The situation would immediately fluctuate back. So far, it hasn't. And this announcement for us is the biggest consequence of this change. The ad revenue on the What Culture Wrestling channel has been reduced by over a third for the majority of our videos. That's bad. But for WCPW, which depicts full, living, breathing wrestling, it's been absolutely destroyed. To give you an idea of how drastically the WCPW YouTube channel has been affected, we uploaded a video, Alberto El Patron versus Rey Mysterio from the Mexican qualifier of the World Cup. That video has been seen 1 million times. The ad revenue we've received from that, so far, $43.
I'll just leave this screen grab right here. They uploaded a video that had 1 million plus views. Any other category would receive hundreds and hundreds of dollars for that. They received $43.20. And this is one of the very few YouTubers who are actually posting screen grabs of their revenue yeah. and actually going, peeling back that curtain, because a lot of YouTubers don't like to say how much money they make. I give What Culture Pro Wrestling and Adam and all those guys a lot of credit for at least speaking out towards this. And Mike, let's refresh the story here. YouTube, owned by Google, is demonetizing quote unquote offensive content because PewDiePie released a video and making jokes about Nazi Germany and depicted sort of what the word got out was anti-Semitic. When you actually watch the full video in context, you realize PewDiePie is just being a little asshole on YouTube. I love PewDiePie, but he's just a sarcastic asshole. It's what he is. And journalists from the Wall Street Journal decided to be vultures. And
they searched out other videos that had questionable content that had ads playing.
Right.
Which led to just a lot of huge
A lot of outcry from the
reaction. Is really yeah. kind of what
massive
happened.
Overreaction. A bunch of people.
There wasn't even outcry. It was just the article was posted, and the advertisers. It made the advertisers aware.
The advertisers panicked because yep. they knew that they would be in a PR nightmare from people if the headlines read Coca-Cola supports Nazis or whatever, which is what people would spin that as, and then Google owned YouTube, panicked, and said, you know what. We're already taking this algorithm that's already broken. See what I did there? They already took up an algorithm that's broken and just wiped the floor and just extended the reach of this algorithm. And it's a broken system, and it desperately needs to get fixed. So that's the story. Mike and I has said that small independent promotions that rely on YouTube for the reach, for the advertising revenue, to build the audience... I mean, you can't get any more organically grown than what culture here. They started as a pop culture video content creators. They branched off to wrestling, and that grew so big so fast that they had the means to financially start their own legit promotion.
Yep.
I mean, there's video of Blompied and Pachiti, the two main guys of what culture wrestling, getting plowed through tables by Bully Ray. There's video of them like in a sold out arena doing wrestling angles. This is a dream come true as a wrestling fan. And now they have to cancel shows. The main focus of this video that Adam uploaded was they are no longer doing the weekly streams in Manchester. They are canceled. They are doing very limited streams. They are doing very limited shows now. They have to cut back their business drastically because it has been crippled by YouTube's advertising.
Well, that's it. They were doing the weekly shows, almost kind of like a Raw every week, the loaded shows.
Yes. So they're,
and they had to stop that for a while because they needed to. I think they grew too fast for themselves to start off there, and so they kind of pulled back a little bit, and they were trying to reset everything. And then during that time is when all of this happened with the YouTube adpocalypse, as it were. And then they announced Loaded was going to come back. They got a new logo. They got a new song.
Yep.
They were going to start everything over again, and it was going to be the weekly show. And, you know, I guess after a little bit, they realized, well, nope, we can't. You just can't support it when there's no support there. You know, you would just be hemorrhaging money. And from what I understand from talking to, you know, multiple wrestling promoters and having heard interviews with wrestling promoters is, you know, wrestling is kind of it's a business built on loss. I mean, you're never going to make a whole lot of money being a wrestling promoter. So, I mean, if you're getting no income whatsoever to help support your promotion, no matter what you're doing, no matter how popular you are, you can't sustain that.
And my advice to the What Culture guys, there's a beautiful site called Patreon. And what you can do with that is you can upload your full episodes to a competing website of YouTube, like Vimeo, for instance. And you can put these videos behind a paywall. I'm pretty sure everyone has heard of Patreon, but what content creators can do that are being affected drastically by this advertising fuckery that's going on with YouTube, what they can do is get a Patreon account, and it works a lot like Kickstarter, except it's like if Kickstarter and donations had a love child. And what it does is you get a certain amount of money from your supporters through each video that you upload. A lot of YouTubers use this as well because they want some more money elsewhere. Aside from YouTube, they put bonus content up for their Patreon subscribers, and all it is basically a social network for donations. And what you guys can do, I don't think What Culture will make as much money through Patreon only versus YouTube only, but it's at least some help.
Yeah,
and I strongly suggest this to all YouTubers out there or any video content creators that are either going to get screwed over by YouTube or are currently getting screwed over by YouTube. Use Patreon. It's one of the greatest websites in this generation's time. And the creator of it, Jack Conti, is a classic case of independent musician, doesn't want to rely on labels for money because labels will screw you over just as much as YouTube is screwing you over. And he uploads his music videos there, and he gets upwards of like $9,000-$10,000 per video. So imagine what the reach of What Culture can do if, let's see, What Culture Wrestling, they have 1.1 million YouTube subscribers.
Yep.
Imagine if only 10% of them donated a dollar per video that they upload to Patreon. That's $10,000 per video. You guys can make a good amount of money with Patreon. Watch, they probably already have Patreon, and I'm just talking on my ass here. But this is just a reach to any other wrestling-related YouTuber out there that wants a way to make some money. And the good news is you can still create the content you want and it's donations. So you're not being paid by a corporation. You're not being paid by anybody that you have to essentially pay taxes on. You get donations. It's like someone handing you a gift of money every time you publish content. It's 100% legal. I don't believe it's taxed, so don't take my word for that. Depends on what country you're in and what your tax laws are.
I was going to say it depends because I know they're UK. I don't know what the laws.
Yeah, I don't know what the tax laws in everywhere are, but I believe Patreon, you get the taxes already taken out, or they take a percentage. Either way, use Patreon, YouTubers, if you're going to get fucked over by YouTube. All right.
First of all, make sure that you have the channel subscriptions and the audience to do it first.
Yeah, that's
going through
yeah.
Patreon and getting paid nothing, you're still going to get nothing. So
yeah, us who have as many subscribers as we have actual real friends, I don't think we'll be causing that much of a stir on Patreon.
Nope.
But guys like What Culture, who have an audience that they built from the ground up, that who are loyal to them, because Jesus Christ, you look at any match that they reference in a week's span, it's filled with What Culture commenters. Like that stupid little elevator music that they use in the beginning of every one of their videos. I finally found the song
of what it is.
I finally found it, and every comment, What Culture, all exclamation points, all caps, and turns out it's actually a royalty-free music that you can get it with any YouTube channel.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff they use, like, it's royalty-free.
It's amazing, because I thought because it's perfectly smug for what they are. It's the smarkiest of smark-sounding music. But anyhow, yeah, support What Culture, support the YouTube content creators out there, and the reason why we are bringing up What Culture and referencing them and talking about them so much is because we saw this coming a mile away. It's only a matter of time before independent promoters are getting royally fucked raw in the ass by YouTube's advertising policy. And I believe there's already a change.org out there saying YouTube, reverse your policy on pro wrestling.
Yes, because this isn't WCPW is not the only independent. I know that there's a East Coast Professional Wrestling, which I believe is based in like the New York, New Jersey area.
Their
shows are done on YouTube mostly. So, and you got to figure I don't believe they have nearly the following that What Culture does. So this is going to hurt them even more so because they'll be getting zero. Whereas What Culture is getting $43 for a million views, you know, what are you going to get if you get like 10,000 views or less? I mean, you're not getting anything.
And a video that has a million views, and you can see even here on the top left of the screen grab here, watch time minutes, the total watch time in minutes for that video that Adam referenced, Rey Mysterio versus Alberto Del Rio, is over 5 million watch time minutes. Imagine how much money not only What Culture can make, but how many fucking eyes can see that if you're an advertiser and you just say, yeah, I'll advertise with wrestling. But the way that it works is if you're an advertiser and you want to advertise on YouTube, you click one link that says, no, I don't want my company associated with offensive content. That is a total broad reach of what YouTube classifies as offensive content.
And that's the thing here, too, is that it's not so much the fact that it's specifically pro wrestling. It's that they have it lumped in with violent content, which, I mean, there's so much more to it than just violence.
Yeah, the problem isn't what YouTube's doing with its own company. We're not saying what's wrong with that YouTube has every right to say who gets money and who gets not. The problem that we have is, okay, at least be a little more transparent of what you are classifying as offensive content, and like have a couple drop-down menus. Like, let's say I don't want violent content. Okay, violent, do you mean news about gunshots? Do you mean videos
fantasy
about pro wrestling?
Violence,
fantasy or, violence?
You know, like
MMA?
Cartoon violence, yeah.
Like, and that's the thing. It's not this witch hunt against wrestling that people are making out to be. I just think they need to make things a little more specific, because right now the vagueness of it is fucking over a lot of legitimate places.
Absolutely.
I don't think they gave it thought. To be honest, I don't think YouTube gave it any thought whatsoever, and they just kind of, it was a quick reaction to the whole PewDiePie and Wall Street Journal dust-up, and they just, broad reach, just everything with a broad brush, that's how it's going to be, and this is the unintended consequences. But they're still not going back and trying to fix this and make it a little bit more nuanced, so that, and not just the wrestling channels, but even other channels that, you know, maybe are gaming channels that, you know, play Doom or something, you know, they're going to get flagged for that because, you know, oh, it's Doom. It, you know, they're blowing people's heads off. That's where you kind of have to make that distinction between what is violence, what is cartoon violence, what is fantasy violence, what is gaming violence. You know, what would then be acceptable to you, you know, because you have advertisers who advertise with WWE on the USA Network. Why wouldn't they advertise with them or wrestling on YouTube? That doesn't make sense.
And YouTube is just so much better than traditional cable TV, because you, in order to say that you viewed the ad on YouTube, you have to watch it for a certain amount of time. You can't, if you watch it for 5 seconds and you skip it, that doesn't count as a viewed ad. So right. Companies can look at the analytics of the video. You can pay for how much exposure you want. It's all digital. It's all there. And as content creators, if you want to get advertisers, you just go to your channel settings and say, hey, here's my traffic. Here are my subscriber count. Here's the average watch time. Advertisers, you can advertise with me. I mean, I don't know why it's just it makes much sense to advertise on YouTube.
Here's the messed up part, though. For a lot of the bigger advertisers that pulled out, pro wrestling's not even a factor for them at all. Like, they, for a lot of people, there's a lot of the larger companies that pulled out that don't even advertise for wrestling anyway. Not because of the content of it, but just because of the demographics. Again, if they're not pulling out because of violence, but because of the demographic, why are they not having that chance to get ad space from YouTube because of choreographed violence? It would be the same as saying, hey, you know what? This movie cannot get ad revenue because it's a violent movie.
We can go around in circles about why YouTube doesn't make sense, but let's move on to something else that just doesn't make sense. And that's the WWE Hardys TNA Broken drama. Mike, you informed me of the latest update. You sent me a screen grab. What's going on with this?
So, there's been some recent speculation. Ed Nordholm, who's one of the heads of TNA and Anthem.
Boo, Wendy Testabaker. Boo, boo.
He did an interview on a wrestling podcast. He basically stated that they undisputedly own the Broken characters and that WWE is not interested in the Broken characters at all.
Bullshit.
Or using them.
That's just straight up bullshit.
Everyone's calling bullshit on. He also made a statement that where he actually included screen grabs of supposed emails with someone from WWE and also with the lawyers of the Hardys. And there's also sections of the contract that are supposedly in there as well. Now, here's the thing with that, though. So the contracts, first off, they're confusingly worded. For example, there's two different types of intellectual property that are mentioned, one of which is stated that would go to the Hardys, to Matt Hardy, and the other that would be property of TNA. And it depends on if it's on which party's dime and time. The argument Matt Hardy's making is that since he's the one who funded everything for the Broken gimmick, that he should be the one who has ownership, whereas TNA's saying, trying to convince them that TNA had invested in the angle and they're the rightful owners. And the email with the WWE representative, Nordholm took that as they're not interested in the gimmick, whereas it's just a WWE saying they're not interested in getting involved in the lawsuit. Naturally, Rebby Hardy reacted very well to that.
Before you say that, let's just paint the picture here. There's a lot of video creators on YouTube who at one point worked for a media company. Let's just use BuzzFeed as an example, because there's a whole lot of them that left BuzzFeed. When you work for a company and you're contracted to work for a company, as a content creator, anything you make is by definition property of said media company that pays you. That
unless
is your job.
Otherwise noted in the contract.
Absolutely. Yep. We have to take a look at what that contract says. But in general, for the most part, if you are, for instance, a independent wrestler and you are signed by a promotion, if your contract says anything you create or do is property of wrestling promotion, there's really nothing you can do about that. If even if you fund the videos, anything you create is by definition that promotion's property. Now, when you leave, you want that gimmick because it's the most popular thing that you have. Let's be honest. The only reason why TNA or Impact Wrestling is relevant in any sense is because either the broken gimmick was so good you watched it, or now you watch the train wreck that is Impact Wrestling.
Yeah. So
let's get back to the main story here.
Rebby Hardy had a multi-tweet response. So PW Insiders tweeted the story out. Impact Wrestling releases log of communications over broken Hardys. Her response, inaccurate. Our attorney bills say otherwise and can act as a cute little log, too. What are they trying to prove and to whom? Y'all are a joke, and in that aspect alone, you already lost. But we can and will make the L official, my dude, at Ed Nordholm. Hashtag no cred Ed. Long story short, TNA tried a literal sales pitch on WWE in regards to the broken gimmick, which isn't legally theirs, and they said, LOLs, yeah, no thanks. And then she said, Anthem mad because WWE didn't fall for their offensive money grab. That type of business is right on par with Jeff Jarrett's gold scam. Wow. I just think it's cute that TNA feels the need to prove themselves to randoms on the internet. Know why we don't bother? Because it's all coming out in court, honey, from the attorneys we hired back in March. Where are those logs?
On one hand, I love the fact that Rebby Hardy is speaking her mind
there's
and
more.
Peeling back the fourth wall. Oh, I know. On one hand, I love the fact that Rebby Hardy is speaking her mind, is not afraid to pull punches, and not afraid to throw anyone under the bus. But A, is this damaging in the long run for the Hardys? And B, does she have too much time? I don't want to be mean, but does she have too much time on her hands except blast their former employers on Twitter?
She does it in clips. Like, and she does it when they release something comes out and she's told about it.
And also, she's putting Nordholm on blast for going to Twitter and putting this stuff out there. Meanwhile, I mean, if you look at Rebby's tweet history, I mean, she goes out there and kind of puts everybody on blast.
Yeah,
so,
that's fair.
It's a little hypocritical.
Oh, she goes, oh, and you might want to try spamming dirt sheets with the actual final version of that contract if you're going to break confidentiality.
Now, there's the biggest thing of all.
That's, yeah, what she follows up with. But hey, that's cool. Something else will add to the list of offenses. Thanks. Should we release the phone calls? I kind of want to release the phone calls now since we're playing petty, apparently.
Now, here's the big thing. Any contract signing from any promotion is backed by confidentiality. There, yep. Unless both parties agree to release details, which I don't think anyone ever would, or there is legal disputes and that information comes out, no one, just either, I'm almost guaranteeing it's illegal.
Yep.
But even if it's not illegal, just on ethics, you do not release info or screen grabs of contracts publicly on social media. Now, the other big thing is, what if what Rebby says is true, that the section of this contract that Ed released, if it's an early draft of a contract that was initially denied and he still released anyway to try to put a spin on something, this is a whole nother level of immoral ethics, horrible business practice, and dare we? I mean, I've put the imaginary fucking nail in TNA's coffin several times now because I didn't think anything could be worse than the previous time we've talked about this. But this is a new level of low if what Rebby and everyone is saying is true. And also,
Ed Nordholm, I have more Twitter followers than you.
That's that. Okay, that's even sadder too, guys. Sorry.
That's just right out there.
Here's
the thing. And I also believe it was tweeted that, I forget who tweeted that. It might have been Sam Roberts. It might have been somebody else. I can't remember. But they said in response, because Matt Hardy had posted something cryptic about it, you know, as Matt is wont to do. But he even posted out that in response to the Nordholm thing, saying that WWE wasn't interested, he said that it couldn't be any further from the truth, especially with him talking to some people from the WWE and knowing the WWE and Vince as they do. If they weren't interested in it and they didn't want to have anything to do with it, they would not be teasing the broken bits as they've done. They, you know, Matt Hardy would not even get to do his delete his one time and not say it all the time, or go out there with his wonderful kind of mannerisms. That there would be none of that.
And Michael,
if
actually,
WWE wasn't interested.
King, that was actually Kenny McIntosh of Inside the Ropes.
Kenny McIntosh, a former What Culture person.
Yep.
Yes.
And also, when they made a surprising return at WrestleMania 33, Michael Cole wouldn't have said, things are about to be broken.
Yeah, like they're interested. Vince sees money. He's not going to
let this go. Of course, because they
saw...
There
is money in delete.
If you think that Vince McMahon looked at... even if he actually voluntarily looked at TNA, he looks at TNA for talent to acquire and give him an actual paycheck that won't bounce, or... He sees a gimmick that is so hot, and you see the dollar signs like fucking Daffy Duck go into his eyes. He sees nothing but bleeding cold cash from the broken gimmick. And he knows the fans want to see that in WWE.
And the only reason they're not being directly involved with the lawsuit is because they do not want to set a precedent for buying gimmicks that people use in other organizations.
Yes, WWE has to be careful with this, but I think in the end, they got to say to themselves, hey, do we keep the nostalgic act known as the Hardy Boys back?
Yeah.
Or do we admit that we're giving money to a organization that we refuse to even acknowledge exist to legally use a gimmick that is so hot we want to make money?
And I think the preference for Hardy would be him getting the gimmick on his own, because... Let's be honest, say they leave WWE in a couple years, then now they have to go through someone else owning the gimmick again. So, Jim Ross, by the way, weighed in on this situation on his blog, saying, not overly comfortable with official contract information, communications, etc., being distributed to the pro wrestling media regarding the contract issues involving the Hardys and Impact Wrestling. Not sure what it proves or if it helps anyone's cause other than keeping this private business matter lingering in the eyes of the public. Just my two cents, but most pro wrestling companies have bigger fish to fry than making a matter such as this clickbait.
Yeah, like Impact Wrestling. How about keeping your lights on?
Yeah.
How about paying your talent on time when you're supposed to? Poor Taz. Let's think about this for a second. Poor Taz. He had to go through ECW, which was notorious for not paying their talent on time because they just couldn't do it because they were broke. He had to do that again with TNA. Like, how many times is Taz going to get fucked out of money before he realizes that the wrestling business has not been too kind to him? I mean, Impact Wrestling, I mean, no wonder why WWE doesn't ever acknowledge him.
Oh, wow. Okay. By the way, a Matt Hardy tweet, just responding to Taz. 100% correct, Taz. I wasn't going to post the drunken, mean, vulgar texts sent to talents by TNA management.
Oh, boy.
Oh,
please
now,
do.
Now, was this before or after Dixie got fired?
I don't know, but the tweet itself was 5 hours ago.
Because I know Dixie had
a thing with
Dixie
Kevin Nash.
Had a couple issues, you know, being professional backstage, if you will.
Matt, I tell the truth, and I don't need to desperately overcompensate to prove my public credibility. My facts will be shared via the correct venue. So, like, Rebby's going full blast. The tweets Matt are making are much more vague.
As he's been doing that. With this whole situation, he's kind of addressing the situation as Broken Matt would, which is through, you know, cryptic, weird sounding vague messages. But to that point, I think that WWE's waiting to see how long this case is gonna take as far as the Hardys trying to get the legal rights to the gimmick from Impact and that owl. Hashtag fuck that owl.
And the biggest fuck you of all to this, Eric Bischoff weighed in on this.
Yup.
Let me get the right menu up. Eric Bischoff says Ed Nordholm is playing, quote, small ball with the Hardys, has sign around his neck that says Mark.
Yep.
Matt Hardy's response, the Hardys and Eric Bischoff on the same page? Wow, what a statement in how pathetic, small, and desperate this move was by at Ed Nordholm and Anthem. Wow. Wow.
The Dark Master himself is on the side of right and good. What has happened to this world?
So, what I think ultimately...
And not to mention, Matt Hardy on his profile page, the pinned tweet at the top of his page says, I am home in all caps in WWE, and I couldn't be more proud and excited for the future. I have much left to do.
Here's how I think this plays out, and I think the move the Hardys make as far as their like last thing before they go to court, officially make it a court case. I think what they're going to do is go, hey, you know, you also never paid any member of my family who appeared in videos on your TV show because they promised to pay Rebbe's dad, who was Senior Benjamin.
Senior Benjamin.
And never did. And that could be more damaging to TNA than the broken gimmick lawsuit could be, like, losing the rights could be to TNA, because let's be honest, TNA they don't lose any money losing the broken gimmick.
Poor Vanguard One never got a dime.
Sad. So, and now with the contract thing, with them breaking that confidentiality agreement, I think those are, I mean, the Hardys probably had plenty of ammunition to play with, but I think those two facts have now become the big weapons that they can use to get this settled instead of going to court. I think the fact that Benjamin wasn't paid is going to be what ultimately, if TNA decides to not let the courts decide and settle with the Hardys, I think that's what causes it.
This is the beginning of the end. I will say this now. This is absolutely the beginning of the end for Impact Wrestling.
I have to stop you there. I do have to stop you there, because how many times have we said this? How many times in the last 10 years?
That is fair.
You said, they can't be less than more than a month, 2 months tops now, guys.
I know they're like a cockroach.
It just they will not go. Somehow, some way, Dixie did whatever she did. You know, I'm not gonna cast aspersions, but she did whatever she did, especially getting money from her parents and doing all that to the point to keep it afloat.
You know what Dixie Carter did? I will show you what Dixie Carter did. That's what she did to every single talent in TNA. That's what she did.
Kevin Nash has been not subtle about that.
She spanked them awkwardly.
I was going to say, did she spank them?
She knocked down the camera, too.
It's kind of odd. I knew Kevin was into some stuff, but...
I wonder how Kevin Nash talks dirty. Was like, oh my God, I'm about to tear my quad.
My quad, oh... That was so good, baby. I ripped both of them.
Vince goes, I know what that feels like.
Oh. God. Just make sure you both fell off the bed at the same time. What are you doing?
We have to go to the cameras.
Oh. Wow, your Dixie impersonation really screwed up that camera, Amy.
You're right.
Let's be honest. Nothing Dixie's...
I totally owled that.
Let's be honest. Anything Dixie's done in front of a camera has damaged that camera.
Fair enough.
Remember when she tried to play Vince McMahon while AJ Styles was forced to play CM Punk?
Oh.
I missed that. Well, let's face facts. I missed most of TNA. You know, I didn't really watch
it. I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
Office Space reference for the win.
All right.
What do we got?
So,
Mike, let's go down. We are running out of time. Mike, let's go down the quick topics. Guys, where does the DIY break up? We saw them break up at NXT TakeOver Chicago. Where does this breakup rank among well-done heel turns in WWE history?
I honestly think it ranks pretty high. I mean, there was a nice slow build. They picked the right opportunity to do it. They Ciampa sold it perfectly. Gargano sold it perfectly. I mean, that match, they mapped that whole thing out to the point where, for example, Johnny Gargano like actually took a ladder shot for Ciampa during that match, which everybody noticed and just made it even worse as far as how pissed off people were at Ciampa. I mean, they got a smarky crowd to boo and say, fuck you, Ciampa.
And that tells you right there that when you get the Chicago crowd, and not only that, but a Chicago NXT crowd to boo an actual heel, because there have been heel turns before where they got cheered. This has been, that was probably a top five heel turn moment. I'm not going to go like top three. I think there's been some better ones and some maybe some bigger ones and shocking ones, but as far as how well executed that was, it's hard to get much better. It really is.
I mean, my top three heel turns right now, for different reasons, are Shawn Michaels.
Okay.
Hogan, only because of what it ushered in.
That has to be the greatest heel turn of all time.
The Hogan turn at Bash at the Beach, I think, is the number one heel turn of all time. And I think you can argue that, really.
And the other
one. Or Larry Zbysko turning on Bruno Sammartino.
That one was huge.
Those two have to be the biggest heel turns of all time.
Festival of Friendship?
No. That's up there. You know what it is? Because
it's recent.
I will argue against both of you, and here's why. I will argue that it while it's good, it's nowhere near as great as previous heel turns, because WWE's content, as far as, you know, what a good face turn and what a good heel turn is, the quality has gone down drastically in the past couple of years.
Okay, but because the overall quality has gone down, though, doesn't mean that when something happens that reaches the quality of years past,
I will admit that
we have to disregard it because of everything else being
okay,
a shit show.
But I will say this, the timing of the heel turn was perfect. It was
everything about that heel turn was perfect.
They were showing the little copyright notice at the end of the show, and that's when the heel turn happened. It happened right when you think the pay-per-view was going off the air.
Absolutely. When you get the logo and you're just sitting there like, oh, I guess it's not going to happen. All right.
And then it does.
And then I honestly turned my head away from the TV.
I
saw the logo and I turned my head away. And then the next thing I hear is Tom Phillips going, whoa, 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 whoa. And I turn back and there's, you know, Ciampa throwing Gargano into the LED board. It's like, oh, here we go.
Literally the second I was like, okay, good. They're not doing the breakup yet. It happened. And the thing too is how they're all selling it. Candice LeRae, who is married to Johnny Gargano, actually made an update on her husband, which was, Johnny is hurting physically, mentally, and we're drained emotionally. It was a long night, and we appreciate everyone's support and kind words. It's going to be a process, but my husband is resilient and will be back stronger than ever ASAP. We will keep you updated on his progress. For now, this is all I can say on the matter. I have no words for the absolutely selfish acts of this person we believe was part of our family. Thank you all for your love and support.
Wow, she even says this person. That's great.
And then
great sell.
Ciampa on Twitter, because he was rooming with them in Florida while
they were roommates, I thought.
He posted a picture of an empty room in that apartment saying, goodbye, old friend.
Oh, I guess no more glorious bombs then.
That's good kayfabe work there.
Yeah, though. that is really good kayfabe work.
And they're doing very. And he also posted one a picture of him and Kevin Owens. I wish him luck, but he doesn't need it. # New Face of America. And I'm like, could you imagine that they say make it that it was on Kevin Owens' suggestion that he turn on Gargano?
Oh.
Like, hey, listen, I got this huge after I turned on my best friend Sami Zayn. You turn on your best friend Gargano, who's only holding you back. You might reach these same levels.
That would be really good. That's some good fantasy booking.
That would be the best fantasy way to handle like a potential heel turn or a heel turn for an NXT guy using a main roster guy, since they had CM Punk on NXT kind of planting the seeds with Rollins.
Now, the opening up Backlash last night, we thought we were going to get the tag title match. We thought we were going to get maybe the U.S. title match. I was expecting the U.S. title match to go first, if I'm being honest. But Backlash opened with Shinsuke Nakamura versus Dolph Ziggler. Now, we talked about our thoughts on the match on the previous episode. So let's not talk about the match itself. Let's talk about why WWE decided to put that match on first. And Mike, why did they put the match on first?
Okay, so the reason for that was because they knew that that same night was going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Boston Celtics, Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Championship. They did not, because of the fact that Nakamura was on the poster and the subject of the advertising for the pay-per-view, they did not want his match to be in a spot where they were going to lose viewers to that game because network. So what they did was they knew they had that half an hour window before the game started, so they put the match on first.
That's perfect reasoning to me. That is a classic case of, hey, we know we're entertainment, but there are some real legit, there are some sporting events out there that are going to kill us in ratings if we try to compete with that. So well, that's smart. That was smart on WWE's part.
They did that last year, too, with the when they put the World Championship match
first.
I forget which pay-per-view it was, but it was during the presidential debate.
Yes.
And they were worried because that was the last presidential debate before the elections, and they thought that, you know, people would not want, they would be want to watching that instead of that. So they put the World Championship match on first in the pay-per-view, and said, our main event goes on first, and it's like, that's not how this works.
That's
not
like, how any of this works. It's WrestleMania. Here's our six main events.
Honestly, I think it was the first presidential debate. I'm not sure.
It was one of the debates.
It was one of the debates.
All right, so Raw's ratings have slipped for I think a third or fourth consecutive week. What do you think they're doing wrong for this slide?
I don't think they're doing anything wrong. I don't think ratings should matter anymore. What things should matter in the eyes of advertisers in this age of technology? We have so many ways of people watching the product that we don't need TV anymore. Whoever's watching on TV is going to post to social media, and as all three of us know, when we watch Raw, we look at Twitter. That's what most of the people do when they're watching Raw or any wrestling product. So
live
what do we do?
Is the fun thing to do during wrestling.
Exactly.
Oh, it's fantastic.
So when people Mystery Science Theater 3000 Raw or pay-per-views or SmackDown Live, they tweet to their followers and podcasts like us, live tweet shows, ESPN Wrestling. I can't believe I'm saying that in the same sentence. ESPN Wrestling live tweets. There are some ESPN personalities that live tweet. The point is, you don't need to watch wrestling anymore on TV to know exactly what's going on with the product. Yeah. And when you follow the show on Twitter, there are people that post GIFs or GIFs, however the fuck you want to pronounce it. I pronounce GIFs, so fuck you.
It is GIFs. It's a hard G, damn it.
Whatever. Fuck you, creator, that says that it's really GIF. The only GIF I know is that it's peanut butter. But
fuck you, creator of the term.
Yes. But that's not what's important right now. When you look at Twitter, you see GIFs of what happens on the show.
GIF.
Whatever. You see what happens. You see a video of it immediately posted on WWE's YouTube channel. You see people pirating their TV reactions to it. So you don't need to watch the product on TV and give a percentage of the ratings boost to know what's going on and follow the product. I think what numbers people and advertisers should pay attention to is WWE's YouTube and a social media following. And WWE, let me check right now.
Here's the thing. Social media following, because I can tell you personally, from not having cable for the last 6 years, I watched Raw mostly through illegal streams on my computer. You know, that's how I ended up watching it. So that doesn't go towards TV ratings, but I was watching the product and I was tweeting about it.
Okay,
so
on a more legal on a more legal front here, WWE on YouTube has 16.14 million subscribers. I don't think they're doing that bad at all, guys. WWE on Twitter. Let's see, how many Twitter followers does WWE have? WWE official at WWE, they have 9.12 million followers. I don't think a drop in the actual TV ratings is going to mean jack shit when we see the DVR numbers from the time it airs to 72 hours, I think, is what really counts.
Right, and that takes time to get out.
WWE is going to be just fine. I don't see anything wrong with the ratings of the product being that much of a concern. Advertisers, I think, are now finally starting to embrace the internet and podcasting and YouTube and all that stuff. I think big advertisers look at WWE's numbers on all aspects and not just TV ratings to determine whether they're going to still advertise with WWE or not.
WWE's going to pay to get that advertising back. So, as far as the ratings, things are doing, they could do better. I'm going to talk about on the last thing we mentioned. So I'm going to save that for the end of the show. But I honestly, the ratings have more to do with the fact that the NBA playoffs are going on. I mean, they had to go up against the LeBron James game. So I honestly think that's why their ratings are that bad this week. They had to compete with LeBron. I mean, even the crowd, they didn't get the wild crowd they would usually get in Ohio because a chunk of them were probably watching the Cavs play.
Well, that's it. You have two playoffs going on. You have the NBA and the NHL, yep. Which, you know, as much as people like, you know, hockey doesn't get the viewership that the NBA does through ABC, but they still get, there's still, people watch playoff hockey more than they watch regular season hockey. So you have two big playoffs going on now at the same time. You have things like that. I think that pulls away a lot of people, especially if you have a bigger market like Boston, like Cleveland, like a Pittsburgh. You know, those are big markets. That's going to pull a lot of viewers away from your regular Monday or Tuesday night viewing when there's playoff games on.
Yes.
And also, if you're going to watch, like, for instance, me personally, I know there's a lot of people that do the same thing I do. If my beloved Green Bay Packers, go Pack, are playing on Monday Night Football, I will watch Monday Night Football and DVR Raw and watch it the next day. A lot of people love watching wrestling, but I don't think a percentage of fans will watch wrestling over other sporting events that they're fans of. I think wrestling will take the back burner, which is a whole lot different than what I could say of the late 90s, because I think all three of us would rather have watched Monday Night Raw back in the late 90s versus Kane if the New Jersey Devils were playing.
I don't know. That would have been a tough call for me, but it's a little
easier. The fact it
would have
been a tough call for you, buddy, says how amazing the product was to watch back then.
It's easy, but see, here's the thing, though. It's easier now to do it because, let's say that, you know, the playoff games are tonight and it's the Devils versus whoever. Okay, I want to watch that game. I can watch Monday Night Raw the next day on Hulu if I so desire.
There we go.
And catch up on everything like that. I can do that now. You know what I mean?
Typically trim the fat on the show on
and
Hulu.
A lot of people prefer to watch the Hulu version anyway because of that exact reason.
Which goes to show you, is it the three-hour program that's really affecting the overall ratings of the show?
I mean, it could be, but they're never going to get rid of that third hour. They would lose something like $30 million or $30
billion. USA won't let them do it, and the advertisers won't let them do it. Yep. They got that third. Once they decided to go to that third hour, that's opening Pandora's box. Once you do it, you can't undo it.
Yeah. And so before we go to our question of the week for us, I'll couple quick stories here. So the latest on Adam Cole. Adam Cole has not officially signed anywhere. The belief presently is that when he does, he's going to sign with NXT and he's going to be a major star there. Impact is said to be trying to make a push for him as well. Emma was injured a couple weeks ago. It was feared during the UK tour. It was feared that she was going to be out for a while. The prognosis now, though, is that she should be back by mid-June. For the women's tournament was announced as the Mae Young Classic. It's being said that the commentators for that tournament will be Lita and Jim Ross.
Jim Ross has confirmed.
Name, by the way.
Jim Ross confirmed that he is indeed doing commentary for the women's tournament.
Yeah, and that's going to be fantastic. And one more before the question of the week. Word is Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis have both already signed with WWE, and were supposed to be on TV a few weeks ago until WWE changed their minds. Just a little note here for you guys: there is an NXT taping happening tomorrow night, so look out for that.
I want to propose my own little question of the week because this was a very, very WWE heavy show today. I don't know if either of you watched Ring of Honor War of the Worlds yet, but I managed to watch this card, and this has set the bar so far this year for pay-per-view slash show of the year. Every single match was a potential match of the year candidate. Every single match was at least 3.5 to 4 stars to me. Every single match, I can rewatch the whole card again. I watched it twice now from beginning to end. Let me rephrase this. What is your show of the year so far? Mine is hands down Ring of Honor War of the Worlds.
All right, having not seen War of the Worlds yet, my shows of the year currently in this
particular order.
For me are either right now or either going to be Wrestle Kingdom or Takeover Chicago. I mean, that Chicago is probably the most solid top-to-bottom card WWE has put on in any capacity. And having a bona fide match of the year candidate.
Yeah, that UK title match was something special. King, what about you, buddy?
I will say this, and I'll give the reason why. I will say, and it's going to make me sound almost like a little bit of a smark, and trust me, I'm not. But I will say Wrestle Kingdom 11. For the simple fact that when I watched it, I was unable to get the English stream for it. So I could only watch the Japanese stream. And even in watching just the Japanese stream and not being able to understand the commentary or really what else was going on, it was still such an enjoyable show. And every match was fantastic. And I stayed up till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning watching that show. And not understanding it, not listening to it, but, you know, still being able to enjoy it. The wrestling, the storytelling translated through the actions in a ring. That's why, to me, I found that to be the most enjoyable show so far for me this year.
Fair enough. A couple more little tiny things we're going to get to before we head out of here. On Monday Night Raw, I want to mention one thing. They are really shaping up this Fatal 5-Way, and as Extreme Rules approaches on June 4th, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the show in greater detail when it happens, but I want to focus on one thing because Paul Heyman came out as Finn Balor was given his promo, and he said the following.
My client, he, just like the others, will be Finn Balor's victim. Which is why I came here tonight to look you in the eyes and say to you, Finn Balor, of all the possibilities at Extreme Rules, I look forward and I'm most intrigued to the possibility of Brock Lesnar versus Finn Balor for the Universal Championship. On behalf of my client, the Beast, the Conqueror, the Universal Champion Brock Lesnar,
good luck
in the Fatal 5-Way at Extreme Rules.
So that is Heyman showing Balor legit respect, and he also said during his promo that he believes Finn Balor is the greatest in-ring performer in WWE today. He went out and gave gave a legit
huge
praise to Finn Balor. And my question to you guys is, I know the size is different. I know Finn can probably out-wrestle anyone on the roster. But early guesses here, early desires.
Okay.
It's probably going to be Roman Reigns, but do we want to see Finn Balor versus Brock Lesnar?
I disagree.
I thought it would have been Reigns until like the build so far. Reigns has pretty much been winning every match he's in since they announced this match. Almost the reverse of someone losing every match before winning Money in the Bank. I think Reigns isn't winning it because they're pushing Reigns so strong right now. Like, I don't think they were planning on giving him the title shot versus Lesnar right now. They're going to do that at SummerSlam or WrestleMania, but I honestly think they're going to go with Balor.
I think the way it's been setting up, I think they're setting up for Reigns and Lesnar at WrestleMania. So I don't think that you're going to have Reigns. You're not going to have Reigns and Brock there at SummerSlam. You could be setting up to have Balor. I think that would be a decent idea. Now, here's the other question too that I'll pose: is this the start of a planting of a seed to have Finn become the next Paul Heyman guy in case he beats Brock.
Yeah.
I didn't That's even a possibility. Think of that.
I'll pose a counter question.
Oh, man.
Does Balor form the club, like the full-on the club, during that match to win the title?
That's another question that I wonder as well. There's a couple ways.
There's a couple
this
things
can go.
Yeah, there's a couple situations, possible outcomes with Finn Balor that I know is one of the reasons why I'm watching Monday Night Raw every week. Absolutely. And this was a great show this week too, by the way.
Yeah, fantastic show.
It's okay.
It's better than what it has been.
It was better than it was the week before.
Okay.
I didn't hate this show. It was entertaining enough. Like it was. I didn't sit there and like, oh man, this show is dragging. It's so bad. Which we have all done during a Raw. But it was fine. It wasn't anything special, but it was entertaining.
Fair enough.
And by the way, I'm so glad you played this video before the final question we have on here, because it segues perfectly into it. But what I love about this segment that Heyman did was it made Balor look like a star.
Yeah, it made Balor look like a legit star.
And that's what they need, and that's the problem they've had. And I was going to go to that before asking the final question of the day, the one that we prepped for. I think the main biggest problem with WWE's product right now, especially on Raw, is they haven't really successfully made any stars. I mean, you could say Roman Reigns, they're trying to make a star, but it's not working. People are not taking to it, except for kids and women, kind of like with Cena back in the day. They've had a problem of making guys legit stars, and there are guys with the talent and the ability to do so. I think on SmackDown, there's more stars than Raw for who are like homegrown talents or signed people, like AJ, Owens, etc. But I think the problem with WWE, and I'm going to ask your opinion on this, I think the biggest problem that they have right now is 50-50 booking. For those who don't know what 50-50 booking is, it's one person wins one week, match the other person wins the next, and just they keep repeating.
I can agree with that.
Yeah. And the problem is, think about it. If you look at a sports team and you know they're a top-tier team, like we'll say because they won the Super Bowl last year, the Patriots. If the Patriots play the Jets twice a year, if they're a great team or a star team, they're not going to split the series with the Jets. They're going to beat the Jets twice.
As they should, because they would probably all kill themselves if they lost to the Jets twice in a year.
Yeah. So, but like the problem with the 50-50 booking is it makes everybody on such equal ground that no one can really stand out. Because, yes, character work helps as well, but there needs to be the wins there.
No, and I agree with that almost wholeheartedly, is that the problem is when you do that, you can't build a star. You can't build that huge, all-encompassing, okay, this person is a legitimate threat. This person is a legitimate somebody I need to worry about. And you've seen that a lot. You've seen that a lot with Baron Corbin, unfortunately, who we all thought they were trying to build up. And then, you know, again, he loses to Sami Zayn at Backlash. And I know some people were happy about that. But with the story you're trying to tell with Baron Corbin and with Sami Zayn, that didn't seem to make a lot of sense then.
No, it made a lot of sense because, like, it was one of those things where Sami got the win because, let's face like, and there's a theory I have about what they're doing with Sami Zayn this soon.
And also, he beat Corbin again on SmackDown this past week. And Corbin showed that he is still a monster and just obliterated Sami Zayn after that. I like that because it shows that Corbin is still a monster. And it shows that in the ring, Sami Zayn is a formidable opponent.
Yeah. And Sami Zayn gets much-needed wins.
And Corbin's already there. I mean, he's not hurt or given anything by winning or losing. All it does is show that Sami Zayn can pull out big wins once in a while, and the beatdown that Corbin gave him afterwards shows that Corbin is still a strong heel and a strong monster to deal with. This is where the winning all the time and losing all the time makes sense to me in the case of Zayn and Corbin.
Yeah, and by the way, my thing that I think is going to happen with Zayn. I think he's going to be a future contender for Jinder Mahal's title.
I'm telling you, and he's my early pick for Money in the Bank.
And here's what I think is going to happen. I think he's going to win it in a regular feud, not a Money in the Bank cash-in. Here's how they should go about that feud, real quick. Mahal comes out, does his promo, oh, they hate me because I'm not like them. And then Sami Zayn just comes out and goes, really? I'm Syrian and from Canada, and they cheer me every week.
I hope he breaks a little kayfabe and talks about, you know, like, hey, I'm Canadian, just like you are.
Yeah.
We're not that different.
I'm Canadian just like you are. I mean, we're both from Canada. I mean, I know you've got the Indian descent, and then his hands just go.
I'm sorry. Falcone's Sami Zayn impression is the best thing I've ever seen in my
life. I hate Punchy Zayn so much. By that, I mean I want to see him more every week.
But you see, like, all right, so what we're going to do is we're going to go through the ring, and then I'll do the kick. But if I miss the kick, then you got there with your lariat, and then... It's the best.
All we need is Punchy Rhodes to come out and actually book the match, too.
Oh, that was great. Well, listen here, brother.
I ain't your hook a book.
Oh, my God.
Oh, good times.
All right. You know what, King? Thank you for that segue, because this has been a great time. I have had a lot of fun with this episode, and I hope you guys did too. Thank you very much for listening. King, where can they find you, and where can they find you at the Wilkes-Barre Homeless Shelter?
Believe it or not, I am not in Wilkes-Barre anymore. Thank God.
Whoa! Where are you at now?
What's that?
Where are you at now?
Parts unknown.
Fair enough.
And not only that, but the homeless shelter's Wi-Fi was absolutely terrible. So,
that's what's important.
You have to have priorities. But you can go ahead and follow me over at Twitter at King on the Air, and you can also go to my T-shirt store, teespring.com, teespring.com/stores/skunkduckstudios. I have a bunch of shirts there. I have a Samoa Joe shirt if you want to get it. Not copyrighted. I have the Page Turners, which I'm surprised hasn't sold. I have a couple of Alexa Bliss shirts, and more are on the way, so you can go over there and check that out.
He is at Michael R. Falcone on Twitter. I am at Hams Gruber on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, you can listen to us every week live on our Facebook page, facebook.com/CalfCrusherPod. You can follow us at CalfCrusherPod on Twitter. Full episodes on SoundCloud and iTunes. Video podcasts in full are on facebook.com/CalfCrusherPod. Highlights on YouTube. Guys, thank you so much for listening. We will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat network. Take care.